One more applause for these awesome people. Woo-hoo-hoo! Happy Resurrection Sunday. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So thankful to the Lord. If you knew me, who I was before Jesus changed my life, you would be like, wow, yes, I would see why he was so thankful. Just for a few moments, I just want to ask you to just close your eyes. And of course, some people don't like to do that. I don't know why the pastor's always telling me to do stuff. Well, just imagine with me, okay? Imagine that you're at that location where Mary and several women gathered together by the tomb. And they found out that the tomb was empty. Or, with your eyes still closed, just imagine that you were present when you saw these two guys running really fast towards the temple. It was Peter and John, to find that the tomb was empty. To be told that he is not here, he is risen. Such a great reason to celebrate. Okay, you can open your eyes. Such a great reason to celebrate. This is what sets apart Christianity from all other beliefs. And let me just throw this out there. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship that you, as a person, as a human being who has sinned, get to have with Almighty God, the creator of the sun, the moon, the stars, of all that we see and don't see. I'm not sure about you, but I don't see the wind. I see the effects of the wind when it blows the trees or blows someone's hat off their head. I can see the effects of the wind, but I don't see the wind. But I do know that God created that. And we get to, again, we get to, what a privilege. We get to have a relationship with Almighty God who is holy and righteous, full of glory. And we who have lied, cheated, stolen, told a fib, a lie, you know, whether it's a small one or a big fat one. We've lied, and yet God desires to have a relationship with you, but there's something that stops that relationship. He can't have a relationship with sin. This is why the empty tomb matters so much. The cross, yes, but the empty tomb matters so much because we get to see Jesus is no longer in that tomb. God raised him from the dead. So such a great celebration that we get to celebrate that Jesus is alive. Satan has been defeated. Death has been demolished or has lost its sting. And the grave could no longer hold our King. Hallelujah. My first slide, I just wanted to have them put up on the screen. Happy Resurrection Sunday, that he is alive, he is risen, no longer dead. This is why I've said before, man, if Jesus was still in the tomb, he'd be found as a liar. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How could he be the life if he's still in the tomb dead? How could he be the way to God if he's dead? And that's a dead end. There's no way of getting to the Father. And then how could he be the truth? He's just lied. He said that he was going to be raised from the dead, that he was going to come back to life, that he was going to give life. How could he give life if he doesn't have life because he's still dead? My next slide, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's just one short verse. You can stand for the reading of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. It says, but thanks be to God. Everyone say, thanks be to God. I know you don't like pastors telling you what to do, whatever, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us victory. I got the victory in Jesus. I have the victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You probably have already come to this conclusion. If you don't know me, you may be seated. I have a big mouth. I have a loud voice. But listen, I do root and cheer for sports teams. I do get excited, but man, I get really excited, and I'm so thankful. This morning, I didn't get really excited. It was rough this morning. My two little girls kicked me out of bed, so instead of lying in bed comfortably, I was lying in bed like a contortionist, halfway off the bed. I just grabbed my blanket and went to the lay down the living room, lay down my couch. So, but when we woke up, I always do this to all my kids, even my older kids, they know this. I'm not sure if they miss it or if they're glad they're not in the house. But I get really loud and I said, "Happy Resurrection Day, Jesus is alive!" And I say that a couple of times, and of course, you know, when they're younger, they start laughing and smiling and they repeat with me. But we have victory because of Jesus. I don't like to lose. I was playing Candyland with my kids, and I just don't like to lose. Sila does not like to lose. She starts to cry if she loses, but I don't like to lose. Now, I don't cheat, but I think Kaylin said she was watching our kids, and she says, for some reason, I want to win, but they always win. So I was wanting to get Princess Frost, and no, I got which one? No. Anyway, I got the card that sent you all the way back. Those of you that know Chutes and Ladders, you know, you get on that one space and it takes you back. And so I thought I was going to win. I was in the lead. And nope, Jude got that Princess Frost and he jumped all the way up above me. And I got that gumdrop. The gumdrop one. I got that gumdrop and went all the way back to the ground. I'm like, man, so I don't like to lose. I like to win, and I'm so thankful for Jesus that I have victory in Jesus. Not victory in someone else, not victory in my strength, not victory in my intellect, I don't have much, but I have victory in Jesus. That's the victory that we have. So this is why Christianity separates from all other beliefs. And so I'm going to try to do something, and I want to say five words, but the last point is two words. So I have five points that I want to share with you today. And some of you might have had your children receive this in Kids Church last Sunday. But these words, if you're taking notes, if you are following on YouVersion, go to the Bible app, YouVersion Events, and you can follow along on those notes. But the first one is compassion. Compassion. Next is forgiveness. Next is sacrifice. Next is hope. And lastly, eternal life. And these five words that we find that involve a certain scenes or aspects of the last few days that Jesus was alive. And in these five words impact our lives. They have something to do with what we go in our journey in life. Some of us, we've been on this journey a long time. Some of you just started. You're a teenager and you're just starting, you're trying to, you know, figure out life. You think that you know it, but you're still figuring it out and you won't know it. And if you ask an adult around you, they'll say, buddy, you still won't know it a couple of years from now. But the fact that we're on this life journey, there's highs and lows, good and bad. There's great moments and then there's tragic moments. And the one great thing is to know that God has compassion. My first point is compassion. God has compassion for you. He loves you. This is the reason why that he sent Jesus to come and to live and to die for you. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, according to the scriptures, last week was Holy Week. According to the scriptures, there were certain very important events that happened that led up to Good Friday, which we call Good Friday, the day that Jesus was crucified on that cross. Some commentaries state that when Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples was on Wednesday. So if you hear me say Wednesday, I'm just going by some of the commentaries. It was on Wednesday where they had the Last Supper. Now, it was their last dinner. It wasn't a dinner like you might be having later on today. The scriptures doesn't say that they had chicken or roast beef or pizza. What we saw is that Jesus broke bread, and then he passed the cup, the wine, and he passed it around. Kind of symbolizes our communion. When we have communion. Last Friday was Good Friday, and we had communion. We actually took bread together, and then we drank from that cup. And it symbolized that we were taking and partaking of Jesus. We were taking him into our lives as we wait for his return. But Jesus, when he had this Last Supper with these disciples, he knew who they were. He knew that one of them was going to, you might think, betray him. One of them, one of these guys was going to deny Jesus three times. Another guy was going to deny Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And none of them would stick around and stay by Jesus' side when he was arrested and walked off with the guards. It says that they all left him. Yet he still had the Last Supper with them. Amazing. You see, in Romans chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him," through Jesus. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Verse 11, "And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." You see, God already knew that we were, or some, maybe in this room, are still sinners. Yet it didn't stop God to extend his love towards you. Are you glad about that? The fact that God knows, he personally knows your ups and your downs. He knows what's going on in your life right now. He knows you personally. You can't hide anything from him, and yet his love is still extended out to you. Even today, you might think, well, you know, I came to church today. No, God made it possible for you to come to church today. God already knew what seat you would be sitting. God already knew what you'd be wearing. God already knew all of this because he made this day possible that you would hear the gospel. And if it has not changed your life yet, it will change your life today if you will only just receive and believe his compassion. Because of God's love, he sent Jesus to die for us. So already knowing that we would sin, and that word sin means fall short, come short of the glory of God. We cannot attain holiness on our own selves. We fall short. When we fall short, it's because the sin in us. We fall short because of what we've done. This is the reason why we need reconciliation, and this is what Jesus provides. When God sent Jesus, Holy Scriptures reveal to us these events, as I mentioned last week of Holy Week. When Jesus ate with his disciples the Passover meal, he already knew which one of them would deny, which one would betray, which one of them would stick by him even when he was arrested. Yet he still had dinner with them. Yet he still washed their feet. They stank feet. I mean, they didn't have any, you know, Dr. Scholl's insoles. They were stank, dirty feet. And he washed their feet. He loved them that much. And then he instructed them what was to happen, what was to come, and what was to prepare for. He did all of that. My second point, slide 4, that forgiveness. From the time that Jesus' arrest to the time that he was hung on the cross, he could have stopped it all. But yet he didn't. Why? Because he was obedient, because God's will had to have been done. God's will had to have been done. Webster's dictionary defines forgiveness as this. It's the act of forgiving. And so I looked up the word forgive or forgiving. It means to cease to feel resentment against, to stop being offended, to grant relief from payment of. You and I have sinned against God. And God, when he sent Jesus, he offers us an opportunity to be forgiven. He is saying, I am willing to no longer be offended by your sin, to no longer allow that to keep that between us if you'll repent. That's the key thing. We must repent. It doesn't come automatically. How many of us would be glad we woke up and there's $50,000 in our bank account? It just happened automatically. That'd be great. But it doesn't happen that way. So much more so as this. Because of God's love, he offers forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, this is 22, the last part of verse 22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That word remission, the Greek word is aphesis. It means freedom. There's no freedom without the shedding of blood. There's no pardon. There's no release from bondage or imprisonment. Maybe there's a lot of pride that you're holding on to, that you're unwilling to admit that you need saving, that you need helping. I've met a lot of people, they don't like help. They like to do it themselves. This right here, you can't do it yourself. You can't be pardoned by yourself. You need for there to have been blood shed for your sin in order for you to receive pardon, in order for you to be released from imprisonment. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm not imprisoned. Just the very fact that you don't see that you are in sin, you are that blinded and imprisoned by it. And you need saving. You need redemption. You need reconciliation. In order to receive God's forgiveness, you and I, we must repent. John the Baptist says this in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. It says, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That word repent in the Greek is metanoeo. It means to change your mind for the better. Think differently. Reconsider morally. It's just, you know that you've sinned, and what do? You repent, you confess with your mouth. But what is really happening? Your mind is changing, and you're choosing to go opposite of how you used to live, of what you used to do. So thankful that God has saved me, that when I repented and I chose to no longer live the way that I used to live, I found reconciliation. I found freedom. I was pardoned because of what Jesus has done. Dictionary.com defines remission as this: a cancellation of debt. Wouldn't you love it if someone went to your bank and paid off your mortgage or your car or whatever you owed and just paid it off? That would be awesome. Yes. Woo! Jesus died on the cross so that your debt could be canceled. He fully paid it. There is not one single cent left unpaid. He paid for it all. Jesus even used the same word in Mark chapter 1, 15. He says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." He says, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." The good news. That word repent. When we repent, we change our minds. We turn away and we walk in the opposite direction. This is what happens when we confess with our mouth that we have sinned against God. We've fallen short. We come up short. We can't become holy. We can't come to the Father. We can't have a relationship with God because of our sin that causes us to fall short. But when we confess with our mouth that we've sinned and submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, we can find salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, meaning, "Jesus, you are my supreme authority. I bow before you, my life is yours, and I choose to no longer live the way that I used to live. Now I'm following you, Jesus." Forgiveness doesn't just happen just by chance. 1 John 1, 9, "He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins," but we must confess. We must repent. My next slide. Third point is sacrifice. At the cross, we see his sacrifice of what he went through for us. He went through all of that because he was obedient to God all the way to the cross, Philippians chapter 2. I'm so thankful for the cross because when I look at the cross, I see that my payment, my sin was nailed on this cross. My sin. I should have died on this cross, but Jesus chose to die for you and for me. When he was nailed on that cross, when I see that cross, I know, man, I have been forgiven. My sin has been paid. And so he sacrificed his life. Jesus tells us in Matthew 16, 24, he doesn't tell us to do something that he's not willing to do. He tells us in Matthew 16, 24, he says, "If anyone wants to follow me, if anyone wants to have a relationship with me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross, carry it, and follow me." Jesus understood when he said that. He understood what he was going to have to do. So he's not telling you to do something that he didn't do. He surrendered and submitted to the authority of God, submission to God, and he did that all the way to the cross. And he tells us here in Matthew 16, 24, if anyone, does anyone desire to follow Jesus? It's going to require you to do something. Not my words, Jesus' words. "Well, I'm a member of that church." Jesus didn't say you got to be a member of a church. Although we are having a new membership class next week. But Jesus didn't say, you got to be a member. He said, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Do you know that our daily sacrifices don't make us holy? What Jesus did already makes us holy. So we don't have to add to it. Don't try to add to it. Because what Jesus did, finished. At the cross is where Jesus carried and nailed the sins of the world, where our sin was fully paid and His blood washes us clean, where the perfect sacrifice cleanses every sinner who repents, where an innocent man took our punishment. Matthew 27:50 says this. It says that Jesus yielded up His spirit. Don't anyone ever tell you that they killed Jesus. No one killed my Savior. He yielded. He gave His life up for me. No one killed Him. He gave it up. He gave His life for you and for me. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. This is to kind of share more clearly of the shedding of Christ's blood on the cross. And maybe, you know, it might affect you that I'm saying blood, and I'm not trying to be gory, but according to Hebrews 9, 22, something had to have been shed. A life had to have been sacrificed, and blood had to have been spilled. And by His blood, I am made white as snow, clean. I have been made cleansed by His blood. And here we find in Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 13, it says, in the New Living Translation, it says, under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. That's what the law was saying, what was stated for them to do, and it only cleansed them on the outside. It only covered them. It didn't cleanse them white as snow like we are today. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 14 says, just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our conscience from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered Himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sin. Thank you, Jesus. You know, yesterday I wondered over... I did this quite often these last few days from Wednesday, wondering what was going on, what was happening, trying to picture myself in that moment, especially in the moment when Jesus was dying, was nailed to the cross, and they were still mocking Him. And He could have stopped it, but He chose not to because God's will had to have been done. But yesterday I wondered, over 2,000 years ago, how many people lost all hope on Saturday, the day after Jesus was crucified? How many people lost all hope? How many people said, well, forget it. I guess He lied. I guess, you know, that was all a fluke. How many people lost faith? Then I thought, how many people remained hopeful? Even though there might have been many who walked away too soon, my next point is hope. How many of them remained hopeful that what Jesus said was true? He said He's coming back. He said He's coming back, and I'm waiting for Him. The women that went to the tomb to anoint His body, how many of them were expected, were hopeful? Mary was wondering, where did You take Him? This morning in Sunday school, where Jesus called out her name, Mary. She knew and registered His voice and how He said her name, and she turned around and said, Rabboni, meaning master, teacher. And He says, don't touch me yet. Just go tell the others. And she ran to go tell the others, He is risen. Have you lost hope today? Luke 24, verse 13, it was also mentioned this morning in Sunday school, about two people that were walking to Emmaus. And it says that their countenance was sad. They were sad. They were mourning. They forgot. Maybe they lost hope. But something happened great to them. But Luke 24, you can go ahead and read it later on. Dictionary.com defines hope as an expectation, desire for a certain thing to happen. Yeah, you're probably desiring for this service to happen. But you know what? There's going to come a time. There's going to come a time where you and I are going to stand before God. And because of His compassion, did we expect it? Did we accept it? Because of His forgiveness, because of His sacrifice, are we holding on to the hope of what Jesus did and said that will take us into the place where God wants us to be for all of eternity? So hope, an expectation, a desire for a certain thing to happen. Every day you and I, we hope for something. We hope, we place our hope or faith in someone. Our problem is this. We're placing it on things instead of a living God, instead of a living Savior who's no longer in the tomb. Did you know that the tomb he was laid in was borrowed? I love that, because he didn't need it for very long. I'm just using it for a little bit. I'm just using it for a while. I'm not going to be here very long. Yeah, borrow it. That's okay. We'll give it back. Empty. Many prophecies of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, have come to pass. Many are still, many more still to come, because in John chapter 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, that's where you'll be. If he's preparing a place for you and for me, that's because he's returning. And when he returns, I want to be hopeful. I want to remain hopeful because he's my blessed hope. He gives us hope because I'm placing and I'm relying on what he has done and on what he has said. And I'm going to stand on that. My question to you today is, are they enough for you? Have you become, are you still hopeful, or have you become, or have you lost hope? My next slide. Some of you are going to like this. 12:23. Some of you are going to like this because you love NASCAR. Is it up there yet? No. I'm sorry. I forgot about this banner behind me. I was going to cover that. But anyway, NASCAR, there's a starting line and a finish line. There's a begin and there's a finish. I share this because Jesus said something about it is finished. That's fine. Go ahead and take it off. I forgot about this banner, how it was going to be a problem. But I don't want to remove the empty tomb. I want that to be our focus for my last point. But I mentioned the starting line and the finish line. It's because Jesus said something when he was on the cross. But I'm sorry, Hebrews 12:20, 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, what Jesus started, he plans to finish. Amen. God knows the end from our beginning, and he has provided all that is necessary for us to be with him. And my last point is eternal life. So we looked at compassion, of how Jesus had compassion on those he already knew were going to betray him, deny him, and leave him. God already knew how many of us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we looked at how Jesus endured so much, how he could have stopped it, but he was obedient, because the price for your sin and for my sin had to have been paid so that we can find forgiveness, so that we can be pardoned. And he sacrificed his life on that cross. No one took his life. He gave it up and he sacrificed it for you. I pray that you still remain hopeful of what he's done and what he has said, that he's going to come back, that you will want to be a part of eternal life. Listen, every one of us, we're going to experience eternity. It's the destination that is up to you. God has done it all. He's prepared and provided for all that is necessary for us, for our life here on earth. And it is up to you. No one can make that decision for you. It is based on you and your decision. Do you want to have eternal life? Or do you want to be eternally separated, punished because you weren't pardoned, separated from God for all of eternity? That's up to you. The cross directs me to a perfect sacrifice, to the one whose blood cleanses and makes me holy. The empty tomb proclaims life over death, victory in Jesus, that he's the way, the truth, and the life. Those last words that I mentioned, what Jesus said, it is finished. What was finished? Well, what was finished was the full payment of your sin and my sin. What was finished was no longer being separated from God. This is why Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. Because what was finished was we were no longer separated from God because of our sin. Now we have a way to the Father in a right relationship with him. What was finished? Well, what was finished was, because of what Jesus did, I no longer have a past. that will separate me or keep me from eternal life. My slate has been wiped clean. I don't know how strong or how confident you are of your slate, of your record. But if you've not repented of your sin and surrendered, submitted your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, your record is still there. Your slate is still full until the blood of Jesus cleanses you. Your record, your slate will still be full. And that is what will separate you from having a relationship with God. That is what will cause you to not endure or to not experience eternal life with Almighty God. Again, we're given a choice to believe and accept God's gift of eternal life, which is Jesus Christ, His Son. Or we choose to live our own lives and continue to be separated from God because of our sin. But if we will choose to do this one word, repent, turn away. Turn away and look to the empty tomb. Turn away and look to where there's life. Turn away and look to where there is truth. Turn away and look to where there is a living Savior who wants to have a relationship with you today. And all that is based on that one word, repent. If we would choose to repent today. Go ahead, Joe, play that video. Today, after all that He has done, of all that is necessary to save you, I invite you to repent. Life's journey will have struggles, but you have the opportunity today to repent. That in the midst of all those struggles, you can walk in His compassion. You can walk knowing of His forgiveness. You can walk in knowing the sacrifice that He paid. You can walk being hopeful. And you can walk this life knowing I am going to get to the finish line and I will enter into God's kingdom and I will have eternal life because of Jesus. Not because of me, but because of Jesus.